I'm Rachel Otwell for NPR Illinois. President Donald Trump's administration has been in power for a year now. State of Trump is our series discussing what's changed in Illinois and what might be ahead. Black Lives Matter got its start after the death of Trayvon Martin in 2012. It started getting widespread recognition after Michael Brown was killed by a police officer in Ferguson, Missouri, 4 years ago. Since then, chapters organized all over the country, including Champaign-Urbana. I spoke with the chapter's leader, Evelyn Reynolds, who's also a professor at Parkland College.
There's a lot of pieces that, you know, kind of summarize 2017, but the Women's March was extremely significant for not only combating, you know, some of the really horrendous things that Trump has said and done toward and to women, but also it kind of highlighted the divisions among women, you know, and the racism and the classism that exists among women. So I really think the Women's March is one of the most significant things that happened in 2017. As far as Black Lives Matter, I mean, I think, you know, we celebrated 4 years in 2017, which was really significant, you know, for a movement that that is leaderful, you know, and but doesn't have the structure that, you know, a lot of earlier movements does. But it's lasted 4 years and it's still thriving. There's over 40 chapters in the U.S., two in Canada. We're making a lot of connections in other places around the world. It's been amazing. We've really kept up the momentum, and that continues on into this year.
So already this year, President Trump has allegedly made comments that many say exemplify his racism. By now, I think we've all heard about his referring to countries like Haiti and El Salvador as being blank holes. So how do you decide, as a Black Lives Matter chapter, whether or not to react publicly to such comments?
You know, we're not surprised that he said that, because I think his actions and other things that he said has shown that sort of sentiment before, as far as the way that he views other countries around the world, especially less wealthy countries and countries with more people of color. So I don't think it was shocking, but there was discussion about, okay, should we put a statement out? How should we respond, you know, to this? It wasn't in the way that I, you know, remember us reacting earlier on, where it was like, okay, this is, you know, we're going to have a march now. We're going to, you know, I think we've realized that we can't take to the streets and put all of our energy into every single crazy, racist, you know, sexist, xenophobic thing that the president or anyone else says. You know, there's a lot of really significant issues to face. And so we are going to put most of our energy there, but definitely, you know, make it known that we see this, we recognize what this means, and it's vitriol. And that Trump statements kind of speak to a larger cultural issue that we have with the language that's being used and how, you know, our culture is really, mainstream culture is really kind of racist, you know, and the way that anti-blackness is just kind of woven within it, racism and sexism are problems that are kind of woven into the language that we use and the images that we use in our larger culture. So I think that's something that we need to address. And that's a big task.
Looking overall at the year ahead and where things stand now, how do you see Black Lives Matter grappling with rhetoric and policies put forth by the Trump administration?
I don't know if we as a society or even activists or those conscious and concerned about social inequality, if we realize the magnitude of what that meant when Trump was elected president. And of course, many people were startled when it actually happened, because we kind of, you know, back in our minds thought that it wouldn't happen. And so to see Trump as president and really being able to kind of carry out a lot of this agenda that he laid forward on the campaign trail, as far as stripping those most in need of their health care and their housing and affordable education and all those sorts of things, I mean, that's happening. And I think that makes me really sad that, you know, there's a reality there that is only going to get worse, I predict, as long as this person is president and as long as he has a group of people working with him that are also making decisions based on a very privileged, uninformed perspective. You know, I actually see a lot of hope that people have right now. I see people still organizing, resisting, coming together, waking up. I see, you know, this level of consciousness being raised, and a lot of really good things that make me very hopeful, actually, in this crazy, tumultuous time. I feel a lot of hope and a lot of energy. And I really think that there's going to be some progress made in 2018.